live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, January 15th, 2021. Coming up this hour,
Joe Biden unveils a nearly $2 trillion plan to stimulate the economy and fight the pandemic.
Worldwide COVID-19 deaths approach 2 million and concern spreads about new strains of the virus.
And a busy morning on Wall Street with earnings from J.P. Morgan, Citigroup, and Wells Fargo.
Governor Cuomo proposes a multi-billion dollar New York transit overhaul, plus more on President Trump's plans on Inauguration Day. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Jets have hired 49ers assistant Robert Saleh as their new coach. The Islanders in the season opener shut out the Rangers.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by SEI. Asset managers don't get results that are off the charts when their solutions are off the shelf. Learn how SEI's operating platform can turn infrastructure into a competitive advantage at seic.com/IMS.
And U.S. futures are lower ahead of big bank earnings today. It's 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 11 points, Dow futures down 88, NASDAQ futures down 23. 10-year Treasury up 5/32, the yield 1.11%, yield on the 2-year 0.14%, and NYMEX crude oil is down 1.3%. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with President-elect Joe Biden announcing a nearly $2 trillion COVID relief package. She is urging swift action on the plan to stimulate the economy and fight the pandemic. Here with details is Amy Morris from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
It's called the American Rescue Plan. It includes $400 billion for COVID-19 management, $440 billion for communities and businesses, and more than $1 trillion in direct relief spending.
We will finish the job of getting a total of $2,000 in cash relief to people who needed the most.
Biden's plan has a specific focus on states and communities, providing money and resources to reopen schools, he says, in the next few months.
To safely reopen a majority of our K through 8 schools by the end of the first 100 days.
Now, later today, Biden will unveil his vaccination plan. The goal, 100 million vaccinations in the first 100 days of the Biden administration. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thank you. Biden's proposal serves as the opening salvo for negotiations. GOP strategist Adam Goodman says the big price tag and minimum wage proposal will face opposition.
So the $15 minimum wage, that to me is a gesture and a gambit in terms of where Democrats would like to move. But I don't think there's a realistic chance if they want to have Republicans joining this package on stimulus that that itself is going to hold water.
While that could be an issue for Republicans, Iona College professor Jeannie Zeno said Biden's experience will be helpful in negotiations.
You know, this is a president who knows this institution and he knows how this is done. He was there during the 2008-2009 stimulus. This is 50% bigger by, I guess, some estimations. So I think it's going to be fascinating to see how this plays out.
Goodman and Zeno spoke with our chief Washington correspondent, Kevin Cirilli, on Bloomberg Sound On. Catch the program weekdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio.
Well, President-elect Biden's relief plan comes as global coronavirus deaths approach 2 million. The U.S. leads the way with almost 390,000 fatalities. New variants of the virus are the latest concern. Some experts say current vaccines should work against those strains, but Dr. David Agus at the University of Southern California says the jury's still out.
The initial data looks like the United Kingdom strain is targeted. The South African strain is significantly different, and there is some concern that antibodies from people who got the prior vaccines or the current vaccines will not respond. And we're waiting for more data.
So far, the U.S. has administered nearly 12 million vaccine doses. Get the latest on the effort from our Bloomberg Vaccine Tracker online at Bloomberg.com.
After a torrid week in Washington, not much action this morning on the impeachment front. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has not said when she'll send the article of impeachment to the Senate. Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and Democratic Leader Chuck Schumer have not said how they plan to handle the case.
In the meantime, Bloomberg News has learned President Trump has reconciled with ex-strategist Steve Bannon. The two have spoken repeatedly in recent weeks as the former White House advisor faces criminal charges. One source tells us the president's been seeking allies to tell him what he wants to hear as he props up false claims of a rigged election.
Meantime, the president continues to go after China in his last few days in office. The Trump administration is blacklisting smartphone maker Xiaomi for alleged military links. It's also doing the same to CNOOC, one of China's largest national oil companies. We spoke with Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross about the move.
This is not just a commercial enterprise trying to advance its commercial interests. This is CNOOC acting as a very active and militarily supported arm of the Chinese government.
The move to blacklist CNOOC blocks the company from accessing U.S. technologies without explicit permission.
Turning to corporate news now, today marks the unofficial start of fourth quarter earnings season. Several of the biggest U.S. banks opened their books this morning, and here with more is Bloomberg's Larry Kofsky.
J.P. Morgan Chase, Citigroup, Wells Fargo, and PNC all report with trading revenue expected to remain strong. Pandemic pressures are expected to weigh on their bottom lines, with profits forecast to be down from a year ago. Analysts are looking forward to better days in 2021, with trading revenue staying strong and rising vaccination rates easing the grip of the pandemic. And as the crisis begins to ease, they see annual profits this year recovering enough to undo last year's declines. Larry Kofsky, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Larry, thank you. Despite that optimism for the months ahead, it'll take a while for the economy to recover from the pandemic. That's according to Federal Reserve Chair Jay Powell. As a result, he says ultra-easy monetary policy will be here for a while.
Now is not the time to be talking about exit. I think that another lesson of the global financial crisis is be careful not to exit too early. And by the way, don't try not to talk about exit all the time if you're not, if you're sending that signal, because the markets are listening.
Powell made the comments at a Princeton University webinar, promising plenty of notice on if and when the Fed plans to trim its bond buying program. And futures this morning are lower. S&P futures down about 10 points, Dow futures down 76, NASDAQ futures down about 17. Straight ahead, we have a check of your local headlines as well as sports. And this is Bloomberg.
All right. Thank you, Karen. It's 5:07 on Wall Street. Time to bring in Michael Barr for more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good Friday morning, Michael.
Good morning to you, Nathan. Governor Andrew Cuomo put forth a wide-ranging $306 billion plan to overhaul New York's transit system that would add train lines, expand airport capacity, and make hubs cleaner and easier to use. The entire project, including Penn Station in Manhattan, will be called the Empire Station Complex Project. Cuomo says it will be the most ambitious mass transit development in the United States of America.
Across the state, we're now building bigger and better and laying the foundation for our future. Not even COVID stopped us. Even as we battled the pandemic, we used the period of reduced traffic to actually accelerate projects through the state.
The plan calls for 140-acre development on the west side that would include additional investment for Penn Station. The NYPD is facing a civil lawsuit about conduct that some officers allegedly engaged in during the George Floyd protests this past summer and spring. New York Attorney General Letitia James said the police department, along with Mayor Bill de Blasio, are named in the suit after dozens of documented incidents of officers arresting bystanders, using pepper spray, and hurting those who pose no threat.
What we saw was legal rights and protections tossed aside. We cannot say that leadership turned a blind eye to what was happening on our city streets, because we know they saw it all. We all saw it.
James says the lawsuit hopes to reform the NYPD's policing practices. 7-foot-high fences topped with barbed wire surround the U.S. Capitol, and thousands of National Guard troops are patrolling the streets of D.C. ahead of next week's inauguration. FBI Director Chris Wray, speaking for the first time since the Capitol attack, warned of new threats. Wray also says arrests are growing by the day.
We've already identified over 200 suspects, so we know who you are if you're out there. And FBI agents are coming to find you.
President Trump plans to fly to his Mar-a-Lago resort in Florida the morning of Joe Biden's inauguration. According to people familiar with the matter, the president intends to live at the Palm Beach Resort, although some of his future neighbors don't want him living next door. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. It's 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stashower.
Good morning, Nathan. It appeared likely that some NFL team is going to hire Robert Saleh as their head coach. He interviewed with six of the seven teams looking. He emerged as the Jets' favorite when, shortly after his first interview, they quickly brought him in for a second, and the 41-year-old Saleh, who's worked for four NFL teams, most recently the 49ers, has been named to replace Adam Gase. His background is on defense. The job of running the offense and improving quarterback Sam Darnold is expected to go to 49ers assistant Mike LaFleur. His brother Matt is the head coach in Green Bay. The Jets were the NFL's second-worst team. Jacksonville was the worst. Urban Meyer is the new coach of the Jaguars, a wildly successful college coach. He's never coached in the NFL. They dropped the puck at the Garden. First hockey game there in 10 months. Could not have gone any better for the Islanders. Two goals in the first 4 minutes. They went on to a 4-0 shutout of the Rangers. 24 saves for the Isles, Semyon Varlamov. Devils lost 3-2 in a shootout to the Bruins. The Nets host Orlando tomorrow. Expected to be the Nets' debut for James Harden. Brooklyn GM Sean Marks made the blockbuster trade.
I've enjoyed the conversation I had with James last night. And I look forward to getting to know him just as our players and staff certainly do. And I like what I heard. And I think he's looking for a fresh start. And I think these guys are going to have to sacrifice, without a doubt. But they're also going to push us. They're going to push our franchise and hopefully take us to where we need to go.
Mark was asked about the continued absence of Kyrie Irving. He would not comment on the reason, said he's disappointed, but expects Irving to return at some point. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
And John, don't expect to see entertainers like Bill Murray or Justin Timberlake at Pebble Beach this year. Thanks to the spike in COVID cases in California, organizers have canceled the Pro-Am portion of AT&T's Pebble Beach Pro-Am. The tournament does have a long history of entertainers, celebrities, and CEOs mixing with the pros on one of the most famous and picturesque landscapes in America. S&P futures down 10 points, Dow futures down 77, NASDAQ futures down 18. This is Bloomberg. The Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by New York Community Bank. Ask about their My Community Interest Checking with free New York Community Bank online and mobile banking. Earn more, get more. Visit them anytime at mynycb.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks following Asian shares and U.S. futures lower as investors scrutinize President-elect Joe Biden's much-anticipated $1.9 trillion COVID-19 relief plan. The dollar's pushing higher, Treasury yields dropping. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 12 points, Dow futures down 94, NASDAQ futures down 25. The DAX in Germany is down 0.5%. 10-year Treasury up 5/32, yield 1.11%, yield on the 2-year 0.14%. NYMEX crude oil down 1.6% or 83 cents at $52.74 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.1% or $2.60 at $18.54 an ounce. The euro 1.2135 against the dollar. British pound 1.3645 and the yen 103.68. We are watching for earnings from J.P. Morgan Chase, Citigroup, and Wells Fargo today, as well as reports on retail sales, industrial production, business inventories, and consumer sentiment. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. And as you just mentioned, President-elect Joe Biden has unveiled a $1.9 trillion coronavirus plan by speeding up COVID vaccines and pumping out financial help for those struggling with the pandemic's prolonged economic fallout. Biden said he hopes his strategy will put the country on the path to recovery by the end of his administration's first 100 days.
We'll take action to extend nationwide restrictions on evictions and foreclosures. This will provide more than 25 million Americans greater stability instead of living on the edge every single month.
The plan includes $1,400 checks for individuals on top of $600 provided in the last COVID-19 bill. The FBI says it is tracking an extensive amount of concerning online chatter, including calls for armed protests leading up to next week's presidential inauguration. In the NBA, the Warriors lost. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Michael, thank you. It is 519 on Wall Street now, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager. Let's dig even deeper into President-elect Biden's economic rescue package. Mark Vidner joins us now, senior economist at Wells Fargo. A lot of provisions to dive into here. Mark, what stands out to you, and is this plan the right one to target economic recovery?
Well, we needed a large plan. We needed something that was going to be large, because we know that with the resurgence in the virus, we're seeing that that economic engagement is pulling back, and that the start of this year is likely to be pretty slow. You know, I don't know that. I don't know what the right mix is. I know that it has to be large, and certainly the $1,400 additional checks will be meaningful, and likely to boost growth above what we were expecting if it was to become law. And the expansion of unemployment benefits, you know, that one measure might actually cause the unemployment rate and unemployment claims to rise a little bit more than they would otherwise, because they're likely to entice a few more people back into filing for those benefits, and it may take a little bit longer for folks to come back into the workforce. Although I really think that with COVID-19, that those arguments don't carry as much weight as they usually would.
Of course, there are other aspects of this plan, like boosting the minimum wage to $15 an hour, that I think it's safe to say might have a little bit more political difficulty.
Yeah, that's probably the biggest eye opener in there, because it doesn't really have a direct link to COVID-19. And I don't know that we're not going to see a higher minimum wage at some time during the Biden administration. And the president-elect even cited the example of Florida voting to raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour. They didn't vote to raise it this year, though. They're going to raise it in steps over, I believe, the next 5 years, so it'll get there in 2026. So I do think that that even at the federal level, efforts to raise the minimum wage would be staggered and would take place over a number of years, so it wouldn't take place this year.
In terms of the top line number, and even the size of stimulus checks or the extent of extension of unemployment benefits, do you see these levels of spending holding up, or is this going to have to be negotiated down?
They'll probably be negotiated down. I mean, everything in politics is a negotiation, but I do think it will be a very large program. And in addition to this, Biden's going to push for an infrastructure program too, which, you know, I think every new president tries to push for one, and they take a long time to get put together, and they take a long time to get enacted. But we really do need more investment in infrastructure. I think the real question is going to be how much stimulus is already in the pipeline, and what does this do to us a year out, when we're trying to come step back from all of this increased government spending. I think the concern and the reason why I think there's near uniform agreement that more stimulus is needed is that this resurgence in the virus has proven to be worse than expected. We've got the mutations, which create some unknown downside risk, and this additional stimulus will provide the economy some downside protection to what's likely to be a fairly weak period for economic growth during the first few months of 2021.
So in our last 30 seconds here, what kind of impact do you think a plan like this could have on economic growth? Would it cause you to adjust your targets for the recovery?
Well, we've already got a pretty strong year penciled in this year without any additional stimulus. We had 4.6% GDP growth. And I think that most forecasts are calling for pretty strong growth. The problem is that we have this real unknown at the start of the year, which is that COVID has gotten worse, and people are pulling back from economic activity. The vaccine rollout has also been disappointing. It's been about half the pace that we've been counting on, although it's been improving. And there are provisions in this proposal to help that and to expand that. So that would be very beneficial.
Mark Vidner, senior economist at Wells Fargo, thanks again for being with us this morning after President-elect Biden announced his $1.9 trillion economic relief proposal. Futures moving lower. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by your tri-state area Land Rover retailers. Introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are lower as investors digest President-elect Joe Biden's announcement of a nearly $2 trillion COVID-19 relief plan.
The crisis of deep human suffering is in plain sight, and there's no time to waste. We have to act, and we have to act now.
The plan includes $400 billion for coronavirus management, more than $1 trillion in direct relief spending, and $440 billion for communities and business. It's twice as big as last month's stimulus bill.
You know, I know what I just described has not come cheaply, but failure to do so will cost us dearly. We will pay for that by making sure that everyone pays their fair share, not punishing anybody.
Republicans are expected to push back against proposals for a broad state aid and a move to double the federal minimum wage.
The plan comes as global coronavirus deaths approach 2 million. The U.S. leads the way with almost 390,000 fatalities. New variants of the virus from the U.K. and South Africa are the latest concern. Dr. David Agus is professor of medicine at the University of Southern California.
The two strains that globally have caused the issue are ones that we're concerned about. And we're awaiting more data to understand whether these strains are targeted by the current vaccines.
So far, the U.S. has administered nearly 12 million vaccine doses. Get the latest on the effort from our Bloomberg Vaccine Tracker online at Bloomberg.com.
Meantime, in Washington, the Trump administration continues to go after China in its last few days in office. Chinese smartphone maker Xiaomi and the country's third biggest oil company are the latest to be targeted. Bloomberg's Tom McKenzie has more from Beijing.
Xiaomi was one of nine firms added to the Defense Department's list of Chinese military companies, a move that will restrict U.S. investments in its securities. Xiaomi, whose smartphones outsold Apple's in the third quarter, has denied it has links to the military. The Commerce Department's move against China National Offshore Oil Corp. curbs its access to U.S. technology. China has criticized similar moves and has said it will safeguard the interests of its companies. In Beijing, Tom McKenzie, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Tom. Back here in the U.S., the first of the big banks report earnings today. We hear from J.P. Morgan Chase, Citigroup, and Wells Fargo. It's also a busy day on the economic front with readings on the way for both retail sales and producer prices in December.
And futures are lower with S&P futures down about 11 points, Dow futures down 78, and NASDAQ futures down 18. The 10-year Treasury up 5/32, the yield 1.11%. Straight ahead, we have your latest local headlines plus a check of sports, and this is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks, Karen. It's 5:33 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr is back with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Governor Andrew Cuomo is announcing a wide-reaching $306 billion plan to overhaul New York's transit system that would add train lines, expand airport capacity, and make hubs cleaner and easier to use. The entire plan, including Penn Station in Manhattan, will be called the Empire Station Complex Project. Cuomo, during his daily briefing, says at some point America lost its way with ambition.
We sat by and we watched our infrastructure crumble. Meanwhile, the world developed around us. We saw the largest high-speed rail network erected in China, the longest tunnel built in Europe, great global air hubs take shape in the Middle East, turning barren desert into economic engines.
Cuomo has talked about many of the improvements, which would likely require agreements with the MTA and other parties. The NYPD is facing a civil lawsuit about conduct that some officers allegedly engaged in during the George Floyd protest this past spring and summer. New York Attorney General Letitia James says there are dozens of documented incidents of officers arresting bystanders who pose no threat. Rain Valentine said he was the victim of an incident while he was on his way home from work this summer. Valentine said he came across a protester being shoved by officers and took out his phone to record it. That's when he says the officers came after him.
He pushed me to the ground, began attacking me for no apparent reason. Additional officers then joined him and continued to beat me. I told the officers I was simply trying to get home, to which one of the officers threateningly replied, "You picked the wrong time to do that."
AG James says that not all officers engage in misconduct, but the lawsuit aims to reform the ways in which officers engage with protesters. Washington, D.C. police officers are telling their stories about battling pro-Trump rioters at the Capitol last week. Metropolitan Police Officer Daniel Hodges was seen screaming while being crushed by protesters in a doorway. He says a rioter beat him with his own baton.
Thought, you know, this might be it. I might die, and there's nothing I can do to defend myself at this point, so I just started screaming top of my lungs for them to give me a way out, give me a line of retreat.
Donald Trump plans to fly to his Mar-a-Lago resort in Florida the morning of Joe Biden's inauguration, where several current White House staff are expected to work for him after his presidency. According to people familiar with the matter, he intends to live at the Palm Beach Resort. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. Almost 5:36 on Wall Street. John Stasharis here with the Bloomberg Sports Update.
Nathan, the Jets have their new coach, Robert Saleh, 41 years old. His 49ers defense went from the worst in the NFL to being a big reason why they were in the Super Bowl a year ago. What may have really sold the Jets was Saleh's energy and enthusiasm, something his predecessor, Adam Gase, was clearly lacking. Because he is a minority, the 49ers will get two extra third-round draft picks, the new rule that rewards teams for grooming minorities to be a head coach. Urban Meyer is the new coach in Jacksonville. Meyer had huge success, four different college jobs. He won national championships with both Florida and Ohio State. Now he'll try the NFL. The Jaguars have the first pick of the draft, also $76 million in salary cap space. The playoffs resume tomorrow. The Rams in Green Bay, and then two red-hot AFC teams, Baltimore at Buffalo. Sunday, it's Cleveland at Kansas City, and then the battle of the legendary quarterbacks, Tampa Bay at New Orleans, Tom Brady and Drew Brees. Hockey's back. Islanders scored three times in the first period, shut out the Rangers at the Garden 4-0. The Devils lost to the Bruins 3-2 in a shootout. James Harden expected a debut for the Nets tomorrow in Brooklyn against Orlando, but Kyrie Irving again not expected to play. The only time Irving has been seen in the past week is in a video where he's at a party without a mask. He could get suspended for that. Nets general manager Sean Marks was asked when Irving will return.
Part of that is going to be up to the NBA, and we're waiting for them to come out with their ruling on the health and safety protocols. Hopefully we'll have a ruling soon. You know, I have talked to Kyrie, so I know he's excited about getting back on the court with his teammates, you know, as soon as possible.
The Marks would not comment on the reason for Irving's continued absence. John Stasiauer, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thanks, John. 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
The pandemic-fueled exodus from New York City propelled nearby Westchester County to its strongest year for home sales in more than two decades. In 2020, completed purchases in the northern suburbs came to just over 6,600. That's the highest in records going back to 1996, according to brokerage Houlihan Lawrence. New York City apartment tenants are more than $1 billion in debt from missed rent payments during the coronavirus pandemic. That's according to a new survey measuring the depth of the rent crisis brought on by COVID-19. The survey was conducted by the Community Housing Improvement Program, a landlord trade group. The real estate brokerage Cushman & Wakefield will no longer work with the Trump administration. It's one of several companies choosing to do so after the riot at the U.S. Capitol. Cushman has worked with the Trump organization for several years. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
Thanks, Ed. 538 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Jeff Bellinger, and on WIOD in Miami, I'm reporting another New York-based hedge fund will open offices in South Florida.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KRLD in Dallas. Hotels battered by the virus, wannabe vaccine distribution centers.
I'm Roger Hearing on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on pressure on the Chancellor to increase spending to protect the economy during the pandemic.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting General Motors is working on at least one new electric vehicle inspired by the Corvette.
Those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Retail sales probably put in a lackluster showing in December. Economists forecast no change after November's plunge of 1.1%. Let's get a preview now from Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice.
Bloomberg Economics says today's retail sales report takes on added significance. It could signal whether new coronavirus outbreaks are stifling consumer spending. Today's data also track holiday sales, and it's been a bumpy ride even for online retailers. Total sales posted back-to-back declines in October and November. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thanks. Some other stories we're following this morning. You won't be able to use an annual pass anymore at Disneyland California. The end of Disney's annual pass program comes 10 months after the theme park shut down because of the pandemic. It's going to start issuing prorated refunds to pass holders now. Wedbush says Tesla stock could hit $1,250 in a bull case scenario. Shares rose almost 750% last year and closed yesterday at $845. Wedbush's Dan Ives wrote that, quote, the heart and lungs of the Tesla bull thesis is centered around China. Futures moving lower this morning. S&P futures down 10 points. Dow futures down 78. NASDAQ futures lower by 14 points. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, mostly cloudy today, a high near 50 degrees. Rain develops by midnight. It'll be mostly cloudy by tomorrow afternoon, though. Breezy, low 40s. Partly sunny, low 40s for Sunday. Right now, 39 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks are following Asian shares and U.S. futures lower as investors scrutinize President-elect Joe Biden's much-anticipated $1.9 trillion COVID-19 relief plan. The dollar's pushing higher, Treasury yields dropping. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down about 12 points. Dow futures down 87. NASDAQ futures down 18. The DAX in Germany's down 0.5%. 10-year Treasury up 5/32, yield 1.11%. Yield on the two-year, 0.14%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.4% or 76 cents at $52.81 a barrel. COMEX gold up about 0.2% or $3 at $18.54.40 an ounce. The euro 1.2136 against the dollar. British pound 1.3655 and the yen at 103.64. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President-elect Joe Biden will ask Congress, as you mentioned, for $1.9 trillion to fund immediate relief for the pandemic-wracked U.S. economy. The package includes aid to state and local governments. Biden says we have to act, and we have to act now.
If we invest now boldly, smartly, and with unwavering focus on American workers and families, we will strengthen our economy, reduce inequity, and put our nation's long-term finances on the most sustainable course.
Biden says he would lay out a second, broader economic recovery plan at a joint session of Congress next month. Donald Trump Jr. was asked by the D.C. Attorney General's office to sit down for questioning in relation to a lawsuit. It claims President Trump's inaugural committee illegally overpaid for events at a Washington hotel owned by his family business. The NHL season is underway. The Islanders shut out the Rangers 4-0. The Bruins beat the Devils 3-2 in a shootout. The Capitals won. In the NBA, the Warriors lost. In the NFL, the Jets have hired 49ers defensive coordinator Robert Saleh as the new head coach. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. It's 5:49 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, not to be outdone against the National Hockey League. It is the start of bank earnings season as well. Kicks off in just about an hour here with J.P. Morgan reporting results, followed by Citigroup and Wells Fargo. Shanali Basak joins me now, finance correspondent for Bloomberg Radio and Television. Great to have you on, as always, as banks get going here. And J.P. Morgan, of course, is going to be setting the bar, as always. What are you going to be focused on?
So the first thing we'll be focused on is how much money they're able to bring in from their lending business, what net interest income expectations look like. Obviously, with interest rates so low, it's been weighing on the biggest banks. And we want to know how that will continue to weigh on J.P. Morgan in the future and if it will become a problem into this year.
And of course,
expect things to get better.
Yeah, and of course, given how outstanding equities trading has been of late, you got to wonder whether that's going to outweigh some of the pressure that may come down on more of the interest-focused side of the business.
Yeah, that's absolutely the case. Right now, Wall Street is thinking that revenue will be a little bit lower, right? 4% lower. But really, they have already said, they've already guided that they expect fourth quarter trading revenue to be 20% higher. So they really have an opportunity here to stand out, not just in trading, but also investment banking that has been bouncing back.
And I think it's got to be said that we're going to be very interested to hear what Jamie Dimon has to say about the economic outlook with the virus still in the forefront.
Absolutely. It's hard to know. It could go either way. The way Jamie Dimon usually has handled these things over the last couple quarters in particular is he sounds a note of confidence and calm, but he also is very calculated in how he draws out the risks ahead. So he tends to instill a good deal of, you know, calmness. But we will be looking for those risk factors because the economy is still so uncertain.
And turning to Citigroup here, this is going to be the first earnings report under that bank's new CEO, Jane Fraser. What are you expecting to hear there?
It's actually the last earnings report under the former, under the previous CEO, Michael Corbat.
Okay.
But we will be looking for a lot of the same things. You know, Citigroup has had some regulatory issues as of late. So how they're going to get past that and how they're going to sell a growth story back to investors, especially as they start to pass on the reins here, will be a pivotal issue for Citigroup.
This week we heard that Citi's going to be combining its wealth management and private banking units. What could that say potentially about costs?
Right. The cost story is a big issue for Citigroup. It's actually a big issue for everybody, to be honest.
Yeah.
Any potential cuts in headcount, how they plan to invest in technology while balancing those cost reductions. And, you know, for both JP Morgan, Citigroup and Wells Fargo, are there other costs ahead of them tied to this troubled economy? We've seen a lot of provisions for loan losses. If we start to see any more, it will be a very, very troubling sign.
And in our last 30 seconds here is for Wells Fargo. We got that report yesterday. It's in talks to continued talks to sell its asset management unit. Could that be part of the transformation story for Wells?
Yeah, absolutely. That's one part of it. It's what how else they decide to shape their business, how they lean on those investment banking businesses, and any more cost cuts we may see ahead.
Bloomberg Radio and Television finance correspondent Shanali Basak. Going to be a very busy morning for you. Looking forward to checking back in with you when J.P. Morgan reports its results in just about an hour here. Thanks for the preview. Karen?
All right, Nathan, thank you. It's 5:53 on Wall Street. Time for our Bloomberg Law Report. It's brought to you by American Arbitration Association. International trade or business dispute resolve faster with the International Center for Dispute Resolution, the leader in alternative dispute resolution around the world. ICDR.org. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Amazon has been hit with a federal antitrust suit. The online retailer is accused of making anti-competitive deals with five big publishers and driving up the cost of e-books. A new rule would allow states to largely bypass the federal Obamacare health exchange, but Congress and the Biden administration could undo rules put in place by the Trump administration. The Supreme Court ruled that creditors in possession of lawfully seized debtor assets are not obligated to return the assets to owners who subsequently declare bankruptcy.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Now, another legal story we're watching has pop star Taylor Swift as a topic of conversation during oral arguments at the Supreme Court. It's a case where two former students are suing Georgia Gwinnett College for violating their First Amendment rights by stopping them from proselytizing on campus. The school since changed the strict policy, so the question now is whether the case is moot since it concerns only nominal damages. For more on the matter, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks to Harold Krent, a professor at the Chicago Kent College of Law.
Taylor Swift came up in the oral arguments. I think it was a little bit of a surprise. Tell us how her name came up.
She relatively famously sued a Denver talk show host for sexual improprieties. And she said, look, I'm not going to try to quantify the kind of damages that you caused me. All I want is a vindication in court that you acted inappropriately. And I'm going to do that by just asking for nominal damages. She could have tried to characterize her injuries in terms of money figure, but she sought instead to say, I'm suing because of principle. I want to be validated legally in that you invaded my autonomy. And she won. So it's become one of the more famous recent cases for nominal damages. And so the reason why Justice Kagan suggested this is to show that nominal damages can play a very important role to vindicate an individual's injuries, even if it doesn't look like a traditional compensatory harm, such as my house has been ruined by a flood, how much will it cost to repair it? This instead is a notion that, yes, there's been an invasion of a legal wrong, and that should be sufficient to continue a case, even if it's otherwise would be mooted out because of the change of policy of a government defendant.
Now, Chief Justice John Roberts said it would make a mockery of the court's mootness jurisdiction to allow a claim to go forward simply because the plaintiffs asked the court to throw in a buck.
What he is considering is that it would limit the mootness doctrine. I think that Chief Justice Roberts is right about that, but not totally. What you're saying is that an individual's right to go to court and say, I want you to say that I was injured just so I can have the satisfaction that you say that I was injured. You know, that is one way to frame the issue that was before the court currently. And if you believe in a strong mootness doctrine to limit the courts, that you only want to have the courts opine on these issues of great constitutional moment when they actually have to, then you want to get rid of this case. Because there is no continuing dispute other than the fact of a vindication of the plaintiff's right, who was arguably infringed upon by being told that he couldn't speak. So Chief Justice Roberts is right, and this goes to the whole question of judicial power. Judges will be brought into more controversies if they decide that a nominal damages is sufficient to keep a case alive. Probably not as many as the court fears, but at least at the margin, more controversy.
That's Chicago Kent College of Law professor Harold Krentz speaking with Bloomberg's June Grasso. Catch more of that interview, plus analysis of the latest legal news, by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcasts. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. S&P futures down 14 points this morning. Dow futures down 99. NASDAQ futures down 34. Top stories straight ahead. This is Bloomberg.